Is this one working? Could you say a word of prayer to open the service for us?
Let's bow our head down for prayer. Precious Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the great I am that I am. Father, we come unto you this morning, Lord. We are not worthy, but you are worthy, Lord. Father, we pray that this morning you touch each and every one of us, Father. Whatever the burden is, Father, take it out for him, Lord. And give us the ear to understand your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. Take control of the pulpit. Take control of the congregation. And let your word flow through, Lord Jesus. We ask all this, knowing that you have already done it for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, thank you. So, before we sit, we are continuing the Jehovah Shalom, and I think this is part four of Jehovah Shalom, and this fits into the Lord's Prayer. I think I'll stop counting the Lord's Prayer because we'll just be going on and on. And as you can see, Jehovah Shalom is a topic that we can never finish preaching. It's unfathomable. If we really have to preach Jehovah Shalom, then as Brother Bram said, we start before the foundation of the world when he slew the lamb for each one of us. That's where Shalom started, peace. And then we go throughout the ages until his second coming. We just be preaching all about him. The whole Bible is about Shalom. The whole Bible is about the peace of God. Amen. Brother Bram said, when the word of God is manifested in your life, then that's Shalom upon you. Amen. So let's, I'll start first with my base scripture, always, Judge 6:24, which is, Judge 6:24, okay. Then Gideon built an altar there at Judge 6:24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And then I have a couple more scriptures that I want to read. Let's take Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. Okay, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. So we can have any peace without him. And then let's move to Isaiah 53, 5 to 6. Isaiah 53, 5 to 6. Isaiah 53, 5 to 6. Amen. Yeah. But he was wounded. Well, if I can read the four, the one above it before. Surely he have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Amen. So you may the Lord add a blessing to the world. You may be seated. So today, I'm going to try to bring this to... I don't know if I can bring it to a conclusion, but I tend to say I'm bringing it to winding down Jehovah Shalom. And like I said, whatever we've said is just to touch the tip of the iceberg. to continue Jehovah Shalom. It's a subject that you can really fathom. It's just the peace of God. We can't comprehend it, as Brother Bram said. Okay? The love of God, we can't comprehend it. So today, we're trying to, try together if we can conclude it. If not, I'll come back. So, quickly, let me read something for you that I have so that I a quote here. Brother Bram said this is in Shalom. This is the first Shalom he preached January 12th. Brother Bram said, now, my test for this morning is an hard word, Shalom. Shalom in the Hebrew means peace. And that's what I say unto the church this morning, Shalom. That's peace. In Finnish, it is called Humalan Rauha, which means God's peace upon you. Rauha, God, see? God's peace, Shalom. Amen? So, like I said, this peace, the peace that we are talking about is the peace of God. I'm not talking about the peace that, you go take somebody, hey, let's make peace, or two countries say, hey, we are not going to go to war, we're going to make peace, like they sign the treaty or whatever, armistice or whatever. That's not that. That's worldly peace that will never stand. Amen? Amen? That will never, never, never stand. Amen? So today, like I said, we are going to build the altar now. But you can't build an altar to God when you're gone away from Him. You can never build the altar to God when you are not in Shalom with Him. And we saw that there are three stages. And when you're away from the peace of God, there are three stages to return back to Him. First stage, humility. You realize you've done wrong. That's the first place. Because like I said, without humility, you never realize you've done wrong. Without humility, you can be powerful. You can say, I'm in a message. I was born in a message. I've been in a message 30 years. I know all the word. I know all the messages, just like the Pharisees did. The Pharisees did, wait a minute, we were born, for us to be where we are, high priest or whatever, there shouldn't be, our lineage should be clean, no spot. And how come you come here, tell us what we can do? You see, you're riding a high horse, like where Saul was before he became Paul. Amen? You think you know it all. But God has to knock him off, because God knows his heart. God knows his intention. God knows what he can do for him. Amen. God knew, but God has to help him. Yes. So God has to knock him off the high horse. Amen. And he said, who art thou? So God brought him back to humility. And I said, sometimes as Christian, when things are going on, he loves us so much. And as I said, the purpose of God must stand. The purpose that God has for you must stand. Amen. And sometime when you begin to go out, God will knock you off to bring you back. And that's what happened. The children of Israel, they're doing all this. God has saved them, give them everything. But what did they do? They went out doing all kinds of things. And God himself had to bring them back to that humility. God himself had to deliver his own children to the Midianites. They couldn't benefit from nothing that they did. And that's what happened to Christians. God loves us. He gives us good health, children, everything. But sometimes you get to a point where you think that maybe just because you're in a message, just because you say you're Christian, you don't really begin to serve God as you should. And God will knock you out of that horse. And that brings you to humility. It could be that your children begin not to serve the Lord. You're blaming on them. But at first, you got to look at yourself. Take the mirror. Begin to look at yourself. Am I doing right? Am I serving God? Why is this? It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be things begin to go wrong. Don't first begin to blame the situation. Begin to look at yourself. Maybe this is the way that God is trying to bring me back to Shalom. Amen. It's a road back to redemption. Amen. So God will bring you to a point where you realize you're weak, where you realize you need Him. That's your humility and you say, oh God. Amen. Where is the God who was with me? My first love. And that God begin to listen. Amen. Amen. So, second stage, when if you never take that mirror, let me take an example. Everything is going on in the house, all of a sudden, maybe your child decides, I'm not going to church. If you don't get humble, begin to pray. That's just one example. There are many, many other things. You don't get down and begin to pray, say, God, what about my life? Because remember, like I was telling you, it's an individual affair. God wants to talk to you. It's not a question about church or whatever. God wants to talk to you. If you don't take that mirror and begin to say, oh God, what have I done? Oh Lord, what in my life need to be straightened? Am I serving you? Amen?
Amen.
Am I really serving you? Begin to ask God to get that humility and begin to ask him, God, show me. Then you always be pointing maybe at that child. Look at what you're doing. Look what you're doing. Look at, because you never get to that humility to begin to ask, what have I done, oh God? Amen. You see, one time when David said, oh God, I'm going to build, God had to remind him first, say, you know, I took you out from following the sheep. You are nothing. You are following sheep, and I have to take you from there. So today you are a king. I know that, bless you. But you see, God sometimes has to remind even King David, I took you from following the sheep, bring you back to that humility. Because with that humility, you can walk with God.
Amen.
I don't care what you do. I don't care how many you've been a message. I don't care if you knew Bro Branham. You met him. I don't care if you've been in every message of Bro Branham. With that humility, you can walk with God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
That's a secret for serving to come back to shalom. And then when you have that humility, then you repent. Say, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. Because that's what he wants. Because if the people that call on my name can humble themselves, repent, and pray, whatever I've sent to destroy that land, I'll heal it.
Amen.
Amen. And every prayer, when you come back to peace with God, and you can build that altar, and when you're back to peace with God, and that's when you can build that altar and call that altar shalom. And you say, unto this day, and that peace of God, when that peace comes, it stays with you.
Amen.
The Bible says it's a call, Jehovah Shalom, unto this day. It stays with you. Because what Abraham said, the Holy Spirit, when it comes in you, that peace is what until the day of your redemption. Amen?
Amen.
And when you build that tabernacle, and what did God said? My ears and my eyes are attentive unto the prayers. Then when you walk with God, with that peace with God, he's your friend. It doesn't matter what you're in church. Like I always say, church is just the tip of the iceberg with the walk with God. But many people think that's the whole story. Coming to church is the tip of the iceberg.
Amen.
Your individual life with Christ.
Yeah.
How you, when you wake up in the morning, how you treat him.
Yeah.
When you're walking in your day, everything that you do, every step you take, when you talk to people, when you meet people, I don't care whether they're Christian or not Christian.
Yeah.
And they're a human being, the way you treat them.
Yeah.
The way you approach them, that's the biggest part of the thing.
Amen.
Coming to church, like I said, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Amen.
Amen? So if coming to church is what you do, then you have to reevaluate what you do. You have to reassess. Amen?
Amen.
So, now, like I'm saying, when you wake up in the morning, is that peace that wake you up? Amen?
Amen.
So when you wake, when God gives you the morning, when you go to sleep, your spirit, your body, and your soul, they're different places. How many people you know they go to bed, they don't come back? But there's a guardian of your soul. That's that Prince of Peace. So when that guardian brings you back the next morning, that's the peace of God that comes to you. That's shalom. Amen?
Amen?
So you got to recognize that when I wake up in the morning, if that altar of God, I built it in me, okay, then I'm a worshiper. I'm not a worshiper of idol, but I'm worshiping that great Prince of Peace. Then what you do? Look, all nature are worshiping the Prince of Peace. Nature, birds, you see the birds in the morning, they're singing, they're glorifying God. They're magnified. Brother Brown would talk about how they hear the animals, and he can say something, he'd just be crying. You know why? Because nature is like an ensemble, orchestra, and you see, God gave the prophet, he can understand that. He could understand that all the animals, they're like an ensemble, an orchestra, and they're singing. But human being, we think we are smart. We don't want to be part of that orchestra. That's our problem. When I begin to build a tower, they say, no, we can do it on our own. Amen? So, when you wake up in the morning and you join that what I call a glorious divine orchestra of God, and you begin to blend in, you begin to sing with them, then you are becoming part of nature, like God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then let us all read Psalm 19 before I go any farther. You see, when I begin to talk about this, I just get, you can feel God's peace coming, and you just go off of your note. You can't follow any note anymore. And before I realize the time is over. All right, let's take Psalm 19. All right, let's say Psalm 19, all right? And let us all read it together, all together, let's read it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the earth world. In them have he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the end of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are there than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, you blend in when you sing that's like a song of the heavenly nature. When you blend in, you begin to thank God. I'm not saying you're reading this necessarily, but when you begin to, in the morning, to say, oh God, thank you, I love you. Thank you for giving me this day, opportunity to wake up and see a new day. Thank you for my eyes for seeing the new sun. Thank you for letting me see the day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing my soul, my spirit, and my body back together to make me a living soul. Let that living soul praise your name. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. You're blending in. You become part of it. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, That's shalom. Amen. So here quickly, like I said, you read. We won't be. My desire has been to read all, but we can't do it as we take too long. So that quickly in Judges 16, if it's in Judges 16, God says differently. Let's take Judges 16. All right, let's go to Judges 16. Judges 16. I'm sorry. 6:16. I'm giving you Judges 6:16. Yeah, chapter 6 and verse 16. Because that's I'm going, okay. So in Judges 6:16, okay. Now, if you read the story of in Gideon, the angel, to our purpose, so we skip, the angel appears to when they begin to cry. Oh, God, I begin to cry to God. I came back. The angel appeared to to Gideon. And look at the greeting. Thou, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And in 13, and Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if thou be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracle, which our father told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Okay? And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. But now look, the sixth thing I want to. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with thee, thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. So what I wanted to tell you is that, you see, when you're walking with God, God sees you different than you see yourself. You see us as a failure, but God sees you as a mighty man of valor. Amen. Maybe you go to work, nobody pay attention to you. Or you have a boss you over, do this, do that. You have a supervisor who may not be nice to you. Amen? And you come home sometime, the devil wants to make sure that you take your eyes away from who you are and you focus on problems. But God looking at you, God sees you as a mighty man of valor. Amen. All right? Now, weakness, obviously, in the world, when you talk about weakness, people look at, oh, he's weak. That's physically in the world. But in a spiritual sense, that's a secret. Because what did Paul say? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. God is made perfect through my weakness. So as in spiritual, weakness is complete opposite from what the world sees it. Look, when the angels come to Gideon, he's what they say, my family is the smallest in Manasseh. And in my father's house, I am the what was the word used? Okay, in my father's house, let me make sure I am the least in my father's house. You see, God knows his heart. And that's where God wants to start with us. God wants to start with us when you find your position, yourself in a position of weakness. Because like I said in many of things I've said, from the Garden of Eden, we were presented with the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. But when we took the tree of knowledge, it has made that man we inherited something that is there. That no matter what we're doing, that spirit sometimes wants to come up, called human achievement. what I can do. And that's why the Tower of Babel, that's what they're trying to do. They want to really display that human achievement. We can go together. We will have a name of our own. Amen? And that's why when you come to God, you have to watch and make sure that that human achievement, I know it will come. We all have that somewhere, one way or the other. Nobody can ever say, I never do it. All right? But you have to make sure that you subject. That's why you say, I surrender. It's not, I want to do this, I want to do that. But Lord, is it this your perfect will? Lead me, O God. You have to surrender that. So weakness, okay, look, when it came to it, he didn't just say, what? Okay, he said, no. But I'm the least. But God called him a mighty man of valor. Amen? All right? So now, in 17, all right, Gideon go and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that talketh with me. That thou talkest with me. Now let me read something that Brother Bram said. Brother Bram said, and Gideon, okay, this is the have I not sent thee. Now Gideon, I'll hurry. Gideon, he wasn't sure. He wasn't too positive. Here was just an old man sitting, leaning back against a tree, telling him what to do. He said, now, I don't know. How am I going to do it? He said, wait here just a minute. Amen? And that's the next 18. Depart not, and verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes and an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and laid them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. But you see, he didn't say, but God already knew what he was thinking. That maybe, am I going to die? Am I finished? But what did I, when God appeared on the scene, what does he say? Peace, fear not. You see, that's why I love him. God will never bring fear in your life. Fear and faith, even though both words start with the English letter F, they're opposites. Fear and faith can never dwell together in the same room. Amen? All right? And when Gideon, okay, I have seen an angel of Baal, but before he even would say anything, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Because God already knew in his heart. Amen. Why he was thinking, he didn't even say that. But he said, an angel of the Lord, he knew, am I going to die? God knows that. But before that thought even will come out, before he will even get to say anything, God said, you know what? Don't even go there. Fear not. Peace be unto you, you shall not die. So you see, many times when things are happening in our lives, God knows it. That's why sometimes it's not that you come in and send a long prayer and whatever. It's the sincerity you have in your heart. You see, Gideon there was sincere with God. When God came, he said, my family, It's small. We're smaller than Manasseh. Look at me. I'm the least of my family. He was being sincere. Someone looking at it, we say, did God really assess him right? Call him mighty man of valor? Where is that? Amen? Amen? He was sincere with God. So when something has happened in our lives, we got to be sincere with God. Amen. Regardless of what it is, we got to be sincere. Amen. Amen? And when we think this is going to go this way, this is going to go right, God says, don't even go there. It's my shalom for you. Amen? Amen. So before, you can see, before Gideon didn't say anything, but it's, I see an angel of the Lord. That fear, God didn't want that fear to take root nowhere. Because in the presence of peace, in the presence of shalom, fear has no place. It can't even see nowhere. So that's why quickly God has to tell him, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you, shalom. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then when God told him, look how it follows now. When God said, fear not, peace be unto you. What does he do? What's the next thing? Then he built the altar. Shalom. Amen. When God comes into your life, things are going. Fear not. His word is with you. When you're sincere with him, you build a vertical relationship with God. You know you're working with him. He comes into your life. He says, peace be unto you. There's nothing to doubt anymore. Gideon didn't ask a question. But can you show me something? No. The minute God told him, God saw that fear was coming. God pushed that fear aside. Say, peace be unto you, fear not, you shall not die. When that happened, what's the next thing? When God peace come into your life, be happy, accept it. Amen. Gideon accepted it. Gideon didn't die, he didn't do anything. When God peace come into your life, all what you got to do, accept that peace. Amen. Say, God, here I am, I accepted it. Amen. It's not because of anything I've done. It's not because of anything that Gideon did. Amen? Look at Gideon. If you go read the following, which I'm not going to read. His father even have have an altar for Baal. Read the next. Where if you read the through, so you see, God has to so go there, destroy that altar. You know what Gideon did? And you see, when we go to Jehovah Sikhen, Jehovah righteousness, you see, it's not your righteousness. All right? That will be, I don't know if it's the next or the one coming, Jehovah Sikhenu, Jehovah our righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness. But many times, the devil wants to make sure that it's your righteousness. But what God wants with you is that sincerity with him. You love him with all your heart. You love him with your soul. You love him with all your mind. You love him with all your... That's the commandment you get, the love. You shall love the Lord with all your might, everything that is in you. And there's not your righteousness. You wait, I'll fight your battle when that happens. But many times we want to see, I haven't done this. And you begin to see maybe it's our righteousness. And you begin to miss the line, tangle the line. And that's where we get into trouble. Amen? So when God peace comes into your life, you accept it. You build that altar for him. And you begin to walk with him and serve him and live for him and praise him. You blend in your nature, like we read in Psalm 19, all of us. You blend in. And you say, let the meditation of my mouth, of my heart, be acceptable unto thee.
Amen?
Amen? So, Gideon is a type of people that God wants in his army. People who think that it's not anything I can do. Because without Christ, I can't do it. If you come with the attitude, I pray enough. I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. I was born that message. I was baptized. I know it all. I know the message. I know Brother Brown message from in and out. I know it everything. I can quote everything, even without sleeping. I mean, when I'm in my sleep, I can quote everything. That's what I thought that God wants. Like Brother Brown gave the story of the entrepreneur, of the builder, contractor who came. He has a pencil and there's no eraser on the back. He said, "Where's your eraser?" I said, "No, because I don't know make mistake." Then the guy said, "If you don't make mistake, I don't need you." Amen? So the same when you come to God, I know the message, I know the quote, there's nothing I can learn, there's nothing more I can teach me, then God don't need you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
But when you come to God, oh God, here I am. I lay it on your at your altar. Do it, do to me according to your will.
Amen.
Then God's about to move. Because you don't know the next move God is going to make. But when you think you know it all, then when God instructs you to move right, you say, no, me, I can't go left. But God says, no, you can't go right. No, because you think you know it all. That's the reason why, you see, when he came to Gideon, Gideon said, I'm weak. Then Gideon knows that if God says you're going to deliver Israel from the Midianite like one man, and he knew already, he knew himself that I'm a weak, then it got to be some other person that I can do this here. So like David, when David went there, he saw that giant standing there, but David already had an experience, the bear and the lion, then David knew that when I take that stone, the trajectory, amen, when you do physics, a project trajectory, a projectile, for those who do physics, there's a certain angle, if you have to learn somewhere, the speed and all that is calculated. Depending on the angle and the velocity and all that, all right, it's calculated where you have to learn. But David knew that the law of speed and the angle, who made that law? That law was God, Elohim, the creator, the great master, who put all in space, who put the earth, who created gravity, and he subjected all those what you call planet unto the law of God. And David knows that if I'm serving that God, that stone, then that great master, we have to take it and make it obey the law of God and make it learn where it got to learn. David doesn't need to do any calculation. David needs to take the armor of Saul, say, put the armor on me, we're going to say. David needs to put his cannon and say, you know what? There is a Goliath. He was 7 foot or how many foot tall? Okay, his head is at this height here. So we need, you know what, to do it. We need to set the cannon at this angle. And then we need to the powder. We need how much dynamic we need to propel that. David doesn't need to do that. Because he knows that the master, all he has to do, he has to say there's a power. There's a power that all what I have to do is just be subject to him. Say, I'm weak. I can do it. There is a power. All what I got to do is to take that stone. When I let it go, there's going to be a power. The power who knew how to calculate the forces that hold the earth in space. There is a power who knew how to hold the moon in space. There is a power who make everything so exact that today the scientists can even tell that in 7 years, on April so-and-so, they're going to do another eclipse and they can do a trajectory. It's because it's so perfect. Who did that? God. So if that God is perfect, God knew exactly in a geodesic coordinate of the earth, you can call it, God knew exactly where Goliath was standing. God, GPS, knew exactly. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? If you take a smart guided weapon or what you can call it, the greatest man who can guide a new weapon, that's God. Because he knows every geodesic coordinate on the earth. It's where he's standing, the elevation where he's standing, what they call altitude. God knows exactly the crosshair, where he has to learn to kill him, like the people who fly when they see the enemy or whatever, the target, they see they lock the target in the cross. Amen? He lock in a cross and you crane it, and then the laser guided weapon just go and hit that target. But God has already locked. God knew the geodesic position where Goliath is standing, boasting. And David said, If I serve the God Almighty,
amen,
and that God, I can see God. Say, David, you are ready.
Yeah.
The cross I set. Just press the button. All David has to do is like that, the pilot is like with his fighter jet, David already locked him in. And he just there boasting. He didn't know about the dead man. While God already had the crosshair. And what God has to say, David, at the count of one, two, three, press, David just took that stone. One. How many? I don't know how many. And he let that stone go. That laser guided weapon just went straight. He won't even miss it. Straight into the crosshair. There comes the man dead. Amen. So that's the type of people that God wants. People who can trust God such that they can say, I'm weak. There's nothing I can do. If there's anything happen, because of you did that. But when you come, I know it all. I can do it all. Then God say, well, there's nothing you can do. Amen. If David say, you know, God, I can help you. You know what? Actually, I know a little bit. God, you don't need to do it all. I love you so much. I just want to spare you. Go, you know, I want to spare you. Like Abraham and Sarah, you see what I created, Hagar. If each time you want to help God, that's how it happened. So God wants people who will trust him, like Gideon. So God knew that he can take Gideon and use him. So God, remember, if you don't remember anything I said today, remember, God sees you different from the way you see yourself. When you're working with God, we're working in peace, shalom, God sees you as a man or woman of valor. But you see yourself as a failure. You see yourself, I've done this, I've done that. But God doesn't like me. But when he come in peace, fear not. Amen. And when God bring you peace, all you got to do, say, God, I accept it. Amen. And you build that peace altar. Amen. It's not really a physical altar you build, but you build that peace altar, shalom, in your heart. Amen. You walk with him. In the morning, you blend him, you praise him, oh God. Amen. Because you are part of the ensemble of peace, praising him, the orchestra. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. We sinners, we don't deserve it, but Lord, you love us so much, and you gave us your peace, shalom. Father, we don't deserve it, but no, Lord, we know that you killed the Lamb, Christ. Father, he was a Prince of Peace. Oh God, he borne all our griefs and sin and pain and everything. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him. And Father, so today we thank you, we worship you. We want to blend in with nature. We want to blend in with all earth, everything, and say praise the Lord. Yes. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We glorify you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all what you've done for us. Amen. We thank you for your kindness. Amen. We thank you for your love for your children today. And Lord, we thank you for the peace you've given us today to come in your presence, to worship and praise you. Oh God, let us never forget that, Father, when you bring us peace, fear cannot live anywhere near. Give us faith to accept that peace, shalom of God. Give us faith to worship you. Give us faith to love you. Give us faith to serve you, we pray. Bless the oncoming service. Bless your children. Oh Father, open our hearts. May the word go into the heart of your people. May they find peace with you. Amen. The peace of God. May the word go in, oh God, and sow the seed of peace Amen. In our heart today. Bless the minister and bless everything. All, oh God, we praise you and give you all the honor, glory, and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be dismissed.